there were lots of debate and discussion and people coming to realize that, you know, these lyrics were really inciting violence against the LGBT people.
And the only time that gays and lesbians will be seen as a force to be reckoned with is when our brothers and sisters internationally intervene on our behalf.
No one's ever been in love with me. No one's ever sent bouquets of flowers.
Think this frown upon my face implies the faggot knows his place.
Boy, you have a sexy body, love to get you out your clothes.
Welcome to This Way Out, the International Lesbian and Gay Radio Magazine. I'm Greg Gordon. North American churches are asked to withdraw from the Anglican Communion, Jamaican activists protest the beatings fueled by the reggae beat, and a free-for-all, Northrop Second and Saturn orbit the audiophile. All that and more this week, now that you've discovered This Way Out.
I'm John Beaupre.
And I'm Cindy Friedman.
With NewsWrap, a summary of some of the news in or affecting the lesbian and gay community for the week ending February 26, 2005. The archbishops of the Global Anglican Communion met this week in the UK to discuss their growing rift over ordination of sexually active gays and lesbians and blessings of same-gender couples, and the outcome is viewed as a major victory for conservatives, as the two most liberal regions were asked to withdraw from an important church council. Specifically, the leaders of the 77 million member church were reviewing recommendations to heal the breach that appear in what's known as the Windsor Report, which was developed by an international commission of senior clergy after a year of hearings. Anglican First Among Equals Archbishop of Canterbury Rowan Williams appointed that commission after a Canadian diocese approved church blessings for gay and lesbian couples, and the U.S. Episcopalians consecrated openly partnered gay Gene Robinson as a bishop. Those moves violated church doctrine, as overwhelmingly affirmed in 1998 at the last decennial meeting of all the world's Anglican bishops, known as the Lambeth Conference, which also declared homosexual acts to be incompatible with Scripture. The archbishops issued a joint statement which said, "While there remains a very real question about whether the North American churches are willing to accept the same teaching on matters of sexual morality as is generally accepted elsewhere in the communion, the underlying reality of our communion in God the Holy Trinity is obscured and the effectiveness of our common mission severely hindered." In order for the recommendations of the Windsor Report to be properly addressed, time needs to be given to the Episcopal Church and the Anglican Church of Canada for consideration of these recommendations according to their constitutional processes. We request that the Episcopal Church and the Anglican Church of Canada voluntarily withdraw their members from the Anglican Consultative Council for the period leading up to the next Lambeth Conference. During that same period, we request that both churches respond through their relevant constitutional bodies to the questions specifically addressed to them in the Windsor Report as they consider their place within the Anglican Communion. The archbishops also renew the call for the North Americans to stop their ordinations and blessings of gays and lesbians until the church has resolved the issues.
The Anglican Consultative Council meets every 3 years and lays the groundwork for the Lambeth Conference, so asking the U.S. and Canada to withdraw is a very serious measure, viewed by some as effectively a suspension from the communion. Yet those churches were also invited to speak to the council when it meets in June to explain their positions, and the move is more generally seen as buying more time for work to avoid a full schism. Williams warned that there will be no cost-free outcome from this and said any lasting solution will require people to say somewhere along the line, yes, we were wrong. That is not the first reaction of the embattled North Americans, although they said they'd consider the recommended voluntary withdrawal. U.S. Primate Frank Griswold called Robinson's elevation to bishop right and proper and declared the Episcopal Church has sought to act with integrity. Canadian Primate Andrew Hutchison asserted that in blessing same-gender couples, the New Westminster Diocese had acted within its rights to advance justice and said, "Unity at a price of justice is not a price they've been prepared to pay." and Anglican conservatives have shown their willingness to pay a price of a different kind. The Africans, Asians, and South Americans, who numerically dominate the global communion, have been the most vocal in denouncing the North American actions, and in many cases have already acted to cut ties with them. That's included rejecting the North American funds that have been a substantial part of their budgets. The Anglican split took visible form as the archbishops held worship services. Some of the conservatives literally refused to take communion with the North Americans.
The denial of communion to gay-supportive Roman Catholics has been affirmed in writing by the Vatican's liturgy chief. On a number of occasions, most notably in the U.S. and Australia, gays and lesbians and their allies have worn rainbow sashes to Mass to protest the Church's anti-gay positions, and most priests have responded by refusing to give them communion. Catholic News Service queried the Vatican's Congregation for Divine Worship and Sacraments head, Cardinal Francis Arinze, about this, and he responded this month in a letter saying, "Rainbow sash wearers are showing their opposition to church teaching on a major issue of natural law and so disqualify themselves from being given Holy Communion."
And Roman Catholic Pope John Paul II lambasted marriage equality for same-gender couples as part of a new ideology of evil in a book published for mass circulation this week. In his philosophical work, Memory and Identity, the pontiff discusses the role of secular lawmakers, particularly those of the European Union, and rights of gay and lesbian marriage. It is legitimate and necessary to ask oneself if this is not perhaps part of a new ideology of evil, perhaps more insidious and hidden, which attempts to pit human rights against the family and against man.
But Britain will begin to register same-gender civil partnerships on December 5th, the government announced this week, because there's a 15-day waiting period after couples notify authorities of their intention to register. The first actual registrations will take place on December 21st. Those partnerships carry many of the legal benefits of marriage in areas including next of kin status, inheritance, taxation, insurance, employment benefits, pensions, immigration, and financial support after dissolution. The government estimates that there will be more than 42,000 same-gender couples registered over the next 45 years. Even the Anglican Church of England will extend spousal pensions to registered partners of its employees, including clergy, even though its priests are expected to engage in sex only within the bounds of church marriage. The pension decision was made by the Church's General Synod despite its serious divisions over homosexuality.
And the UK's Royal Navy is going well beyond merely recognizing service members' registered partners for pensions, benefits, and housing. It's actively recruiting gay and lesbian personnel through community publications and contracting with the national advocacy group Stonewall to consult on both recruitment and retention. A spokesperson declared the Navy's commitment to establishing a culture and climate where people can discuss their sexual orientation without risk of abuse or intimidation. More than 2,000 British naval personnel on active duty have openly declared their gay or lesbian orientation since the ban on their service was lifted 5 years ago, following judgments by European courts.
The U.S. is paying a high price for its military's so-called don't ask, don't tell policy, according to a new report from the Government Accountability Office. The GAO performs research for the U.S. Congress. It pegged the cost of recruiting and training replacements for nearly 9,500 enlisted personnel discharged under the policy since it went into effect in 1994 at nearly $200 million. The recruitment cost of each replacement is $10,500, while training costs per individual vary across service branches from $6,400 to $18,000. The GAO did not include the administrative costs involved in the discharges, did not even examine the costs for hundreds of discharged officers and specialists because of the difficulty putting a dollar value on training their replacements.
In the Canadian province of Ontario, more than 1,000 gay and lesbian couples have legally married over the last year and a half since the top provincial court redefined marriage, but it's just this week that the province's legislature actually changed the language of its laws. nor was enactment any walk in the park for the Ontario government's omnibus bill rewording 73 provincial laws to be gender neutral to comply with the court ruling. There was a lengthy debate, including a filibustering speech nearly an hour long by Progressive Conservative Party member of the provincial parliament, Bill Murdoch. Murdoch and two of his Tory colleagues defied their party's leadership to demand a recording of each member's vote on the bill. And because the other party's leaders also opposed it, they failed to find the support of the two additional MPPs they needed to make that happen. So passage came by a simple voice vote, with no way individual MPPs can be held accountable, and few have chosen to declare their positions. Perhaps it's even more embarrassing that almost two-thirds of the ruling Liberal Party's MPPs were absent. According to their House leader, Dwight Duncan, that's because they expected the vote to come the following day.
And finally, this week saw the TV broadcast of the much-promoted episode of Fox's long-running animated sitcom, The Simpsons, in which both the fictional U.S. town of Springfield and Homer Simpson himself determine to marry same-gender couples to solve their financial troubles. And as advertised, one recurring character came out. And after astonishing numbers of people laid bets as to who that would be, it can now be revealed that Marge Simpson's sister Patty is now and has always been a lesbian. Apparently, Marge has been in denial all these years, even though she was an eloquent advocate for marriage equality throughout this episode. While wrestling with familial acceptance, Marge discovers through a bathroom door that Patty's intended is actually a man. He's only been passing as a woman in order to play professional golf. Marge bursts forth with this revelation in the middle of the marriage ceremony. Patty is shocked that she's been lied to, and her fiancé contritely admits that he was afraid to lose her. He begs her to marry him despite his gender, and she answers,
"Hell no! I like girls!"
That's News Wrap for the week ending February 26, 2005. Follow the news in your area. An informed community is a strong community.
News Wrap is written by Cindy Friedman and recorded at the studios of KPFK Los Angeles. For This Way Out, I'm John Beaupre.
And I'm Cindy Friedman.
A creative musician who takes the kitchen sink approach, a folk rocker with something to sing about, and a sensuous alternative urban pop performer are this month's featured artists in the Audiophile. Later in the program.
We all live in fear for our lives because every day you get up, you're not sure if you'll be able to make it back home.
Get up, stand up. Stand up for your rights. Get up, stand up. Don't give up the fight.
Last time on This Way Out, we heard horrifying tales of queer oppression from Gareth and Carlene of JFLAG, the Jamaica Forum for Lesbians, All Sexuals, and Gays, including the brutal murder of the group's co-founder, Brian Williamson. The activists, who dare not use their full names, were sponsored by Amnesty International and Human Rights Watch on a seven-city tour to network with their U.S. counterparts and meet with government officials. As their conversation with This Way Out's Lucia Chappell continues, they talk about the one aspect of their struggle that has made international headlines.
One of the real hot-button issues that has gotten attention to the problem of homophobic violence in Jamaica has been, of course, the dancehall music.
Our dancehall music, which evolves from reggae, has come a far way because we're seeing where our dancehall music contain homophobic lyrics, the lyrics that encourage people to go out and kill and beat people who are different, you know, homosexuals. And, you know, it really has not shown any regard for human lives. Since Brian Williamson's death, the organization Outrage in the UK actually took up the campaign with JFLAG's efforts also, because we did provide the interpretation of the lyrics, that they were successful able to create a forum where there were lots of debate and discussion and people coming to realize that, you know, these lyrics were really inciting violence against the LGBT people. And LGBT people are one of those who really supported the music. But, you know, because the foreigners did not understand the lyrics, you know, they were very well in support. And although in Jamaica, the LGBT community people felt the backlash of you know, the boycotting of the music, we were still happy that it was happening because it brought to the forefront that these are the things that are happening and the music has not done anything. And the music is so very influential on people, both locally and abroad, especially the youngsters, because the youngsters are the ones who really take to music. If you want to pass a message on, just do it through music and they catch it on quickly. And people were being beaten based on these music, what these music were saying. And however, because they were feeling the pinch in their pockets, they were forced to really look into the music and, you know, see what these artists were doing. And somehow an agreement was reached wherein, you know, producers and managers and people who are responsible for these artists made a promise that, you know, no more lyrics with homophobic content will be made. However, as myself, and I think I speak on behalf of J Flag, I think that also that they should recall the music that, you know, that are already out there with homophobia, because people will still be playing them and they're still going to be sold. So I think another move is to recall those music also.
You had mentioned that there was some backlash based on some of the protests in Europe. What has that been like?
What we find is that there were more gays and lesbians were turned out of their homes, were beaten, hospitalized. There were police who were terrorizing gays and lesbians, and persons who live in inner city communities where these artists are seen as idols. Gays and lesbians within these communities undergo a lot of persecution. One young guy was 15 years old. He was stabbed and hospitalized because why? Gays are bantering our artists and stopping our progress. And we have parents having their sons being escorted out of their community by gunpoint. And when these matters are reported to the police officers, they say nothing, they do nothing. So what was happening was that even though Outrage was doing something real good, which, trust me, we in Jamaica, we had no problem with it. We were not coming to a compromise to say, okay, fine, stop your campaign. We didn't want that, because we don't want a compromise from our government or from nobody within the system. What we want is we're reclaiming what is rightful ours, and that is our human rights.
What about then the critique that the European protesters just really did not understand the black culture and of Jamaica?
My response to that is Jamaica, even though we respond negative when foreigners intervene, why do we depend on foreigners for the growth and development of our economy? We in Jamaica, we take the things from foreigners. We take their loans, we take their goods, we take their services. And if they're going to criticize us, why are we going to shout at that point in time? If we have nothing to do with foreigners, have nothing to do with them in their entirety. And for us at JFLAG, we have made several attempts to have dialogue with our local officials. They pay us no mind. They don't want to hear us. A part of it because we are powerless. In Jamaica, JFLAG is powerless. And the only time that gays and lesbians will be seen as a force to be reckoned with is when our brothers and sisters internationally intervene on our behalf, which we as gays and lesbians appreciate 100%.
And also, where the music was concerned, I think the best thing, you know, in defense of the music was to come, you know, armed with a thing saying it was the discrimination because based on race and color. But I just think it was just a cover-up. They just didn't want to face it. And they were trying to, you know, attack it to make it look, you know, trying to take the focus away from, you know, homosexuality, you know, and the homophobia. So that was just a mere cover. Nobody bought it, you know, bought into it.
Yeah, and doesn't to what Colin just said, we in Jamaica, we speak about on the premise that, yes, we're a sovereign nation, and we appreciate the whole thing of freedom of speech. Why do we then allow or want to promote our artists to go to another sovereign nation to incite violence? If the Europeans allow gays and lesbians to live free, Jamaicans should respect that and should not go in their country and want to dictate to them or say to them, gays and lesbians ought to be killed.
And as a matter of fact, they're talking about sovereignty. The sodomy laws that we have on our books, that's not sovereign. That's coming from the
from
the British colonial system, okay? And the British has taken that off their books, and they've done
something with
it for years now, and we still have that. So where is the sovereignty in that?
Where are our laws? what are the things that we have put in place in terms of legislation that we can own as Jamaican, why we still hold on to these laws that were colonial laws. The world has come a far way, and the whole thing of globalization, we as Jamaicans, we have to be very careful, because a part of it is that we are going to be out. We are referred to as a third world country and a developing country, and the other countries are far ahead of us, and they have let go of some of these things, even though they still have their challenges and their itches, but we are hanging on to these baggages. How far are they going to take us?
Lucia Chappell's conversation with Gareth and Carlene of the Jamaica Forum for Lesbians, All Sexuals, and Gays concludes next time on This Way Out. You can find more information about their organization online at www.jflag.org.
Hi, this is Margaret Cho, star of Notorious CHO, and you are listening to This Way Out, the international radio magazine for all our sexually diverse communities.
With tongue-in-cheek, heartfelt politics, and explicit sexuality, three queer music favorites tune up this month's audiophile.
No one's ever been in love with me. No one's ever sent bouquets of flowers, counted the hours to be in my company. No one's ever been in love with me. No one's ever cared and been sincere. No one's ever kissed and called me nothing. Had sweet nothings whispered in my ear. No one's ever cared and been sincere.
Chicago artist Scott Free, using a bit of tongue-in-cheek, has called his latest album, They Call Me Mr. Free. Hi, I'm J.D. Doyle.
I'm Chris Wilson, and you're listening to Audiophile. The CD covers a lot of territory, both musically and lyrically. And in addition to dealing with matters of the heart, it's also full of politics and protest.
This is my third CD, and the musical styles are extremely varied. It's kind of the way I operate when I write songs. I have a concept, an idea for a song, and I really aim in the direction or genre of music that I think best fits the lyric. So I kind of thought of it as the kitchen sink approach to creating a CD.
This great nation has shown itself in all its glory. Up on high flies the truths and tenets of this land. Built a fortress upon the wisdom of the mighty. We must fight for the principles for which she stands. Gay shouldn't be allowed to marry. Lady shouldn't be allowed to vote. Negro shouldn't be allowed to be free. Shouldn't be. Shouldn't be. Gay shouldn't be allowed to marry. And a lady shouldn't be allowed to vote. Negro shouldn't be allowed to be free. Shouldn't be. Shouldn't be.
Find out more about Scott Free and his album, They Call Me Mr. Free, at www.scottfree.net.
Canadian artist Andy Northrup has taken his musical folk and rock roots and added his heartfelt social and political commentary to give us his second album.
You think it's easy. Think it's plain. You think this frown upon my face implies the faggot knows his place, and it's that easy.
The album is called Cardboard Logic, and it challenges as well as it entertains.
The CD, Cardboard Logic, is a folk rock album, but it's got nods to a variety of musical styles like country, Celtic, even some bluegrass and blues. It progresses through the album. It starts quite folky and then moves to much more of a rocky feel near the end of the album, and hopefully people join us for the journey.
One, two, three.
Turn it off, lip it over. When I watch, I forget how to breathe. In this world full of empty image, we allow this disease to breed. No excuses, no forgiveness. Twist the faith with a tainted bride. Push a button, push a nation. Bend the rules and let God decide. I'm only trying to understand, like everybody else these days.
panic that controls our land. And lets our lives be ruled by hate. It's forcing me to look inside.
You can learn more about the album Cardboard Logic by Andy Northrup at www.anorthrup.com. That's www.anorthrup.com.
The sin album by Saturn is called Deviant. It takes off where his debut album, The Virgin Poet, left off, and in a word is sexy.
I love everything about you, love you walking through my door. Boy, you have a sexy body, love to get you out your clothes. I love everything about you, like when you smile sarcastically. Love your inquisitive nature, when your lips start asking me questions up and down my body, let me consider what you pose. Ask me till I have an answer, my confession lies beneath your snow.
In addition to the music's sensuality, the lyrics are as enticing as they are explicit, with a number of songs that are not ready for radio.
When it comes to describing the CD and the musical style, I like to call it alternative urban pop. Pop music, because it's a singularly pop record. There are a lot of poppy songs on there, and it's definitely got some hip-hop influences, especially on songs like Atlantis and Make You Scream and Boy to Boy. And I call it alternative just because, well, I'm a rather odd guy, so anything I do is going to be kind of alternative.
Feel the hunting from my fingertips to your throat. I'm on fire for your lips that burn me. You transform me into some character I don't know. Someone sexy, seductive, yet completely uncomposed. Hey, yeah.
Find out more about Saturn and the CD Deviant at www.imsaturn.com.
That's it for this edition of Audiophile. You can write to us at Post Office Box 66648, Houston, Texas 77006, or by visiting our website at www.audiophile.org. That's www.audiophile.org.
Audiophile is produced by Chris Wilson, J.D. Doyle, and Christopher David Trentum. I'm J.D. Doyle.
And I'm Chris Wilson. Keep listening.
You're my captor. Bind me with celluloid. I'll be a slave for you.
Thanks for tuning in to This Way Out, the International Gay and Lesbian Radio Magazine. This week, Cindy Friedman, John Beaupre, Graham Underhill, Rex Walkner, and Chris Wilson, J.D. Doyle, and Christopher David Trentum contributed program material. Peter Tosh sang Get Up, Stand Up, and Kim Wilson composed and performed our theme music. Remember, you can listen to This Way Out anytime, online, exclusively on Planet Out. There's a link at our website, www.thiswayout.org. This Way Out is supported by charitable donations from our listeners, and we thank you. It's you, our listeners, who keep this program on the air. And you can get some queer history and top music and movie reviews on specially produced audio CDs as a bonus. For all the details, please do log on to thiswayout.org or write to us at Post Office Box 38327, Los Angeles, California, 90038, USA. For Associate Producer Lucia Chappell and everyone at This Way Out, I'm Greg Gordon. We thank you for listening on WRIR Richmond, Virginia, KPFT Houston, Texas, 3BBB Ballarat, Victoria, and more than 150 other stations around the world, including this community radio station. Everybody's going to stay tuned.